This is the state of things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Anita Rao, in for Frank Stacio. State lawmakers returned to Raleigh yesterday for a quickly organized special session, and they passed two bills that would influence elections this November. One tweaks the titles for six proposed constitutional amendments. As of 2016, a special three-member commission was put in charge of creating amendment titles. But GOP leaders worried outside pressure would influence the commission's work. Democrats argue Republicans want control of the process and have called the move a power grab. The other bill changes judicial elections. It affects whether judicial candidates can run with a party affiliation next to their name on the ballot. Critics of the bill say it unfairly targets one particular candidate in the state Supreme Court race. Here to talk about more from the General Assembly is Rusty Jacobs. He is WNC's politics reporter. Rusty, welcome back.
Thanks.
Tell me about why this special session was called in the first place, organized more or less overnight. The motivation had to do in large part with ballot wording. Tell me a bit about this.
Sure. And remember, when the Republican chairman rules, the rules chair, David Lewis, is a Harnett County Republican representative, wrote a letter to the Senate and House leadership asking for this special session. It was just about the ballot language. The North Carolina Constitution Amendment Publication Commission, the three-person commission that was created back in 1983, consists of the Secretary of State, Attorney General, and the Legislative Services Officer. In this case, that's Elaine Marshall and Josh Stein, two Democrats, and Legislative Services Officer Paul Koble, a Republican. And they are tasked with writing definitions and description summaries of constitutional amendments. Those descriptions, those summaries appear in guides that will go out to voters, go out to the millions of homes of registered voters. The captions are just short titles that appear on a ballot above a proposed constitutional amendment. In this case, Representative Lewis expressed concerns, albeit vague, about politicization or political influence on the writing of these captions. And we should talk about the amendments themselves. It's a big year for constitutional amendments. Six amendments will appear on the ballot. A couple of them, not terribly controversial. Hunting and fishing preserved as a way of life in North Carolina, one of them. A crime victims' rights amendment would kind of broaden the rights of victims to be kept apprised of their cases as they go their way in courts. There was a lot of support, really, for those. But the other three or the other four constitutional amendments are a bit more controversial. There's a voter ID constitutional amendment. There is an amendment that would transfer appointment power from the governor's office to the legislature, and there's a judicial vacancy amendment. And we can talk more about those. But Representative Lewis's concerns and the Republican leadership's concerns were that there was political influence, especially on the two Democrats on the commission, that could maybe sway them to write language that could somehow dissuade voters from supporting these amendments.
Okay, so we have this three-member constitutional amendment Amendments Public Commission, a three-member commission. They were in the process of doing this writing, what they were entitled to do by the law. The GOP was worried, and there's some specific people that they were worried about influencing this commission. Can you tell me a bit about the politics there?
Right. Well, there was some suspicion or circumspection that Jerry Cohen, he's a former staffer and special counsel for the North Carolina General Assembly and somebody really with encyclopedic knowledge of the state constitution and of the legislative process. He's been very active on Twitter. He's been commenting on the process as the constitutional amendments are crafted and then as they're being put onto the ballots. And a reporter asked Senator President Pro Tem Phil Berger, top Republican in the Senate, whether those tweets, those comments by Jerry Cohen were cause for concern and somehow led to the special session and the desire for the Republican leadership to kind of take back the caption writing power. And he admitted that was a cause for concern. I spoke to David Lewis, the representative who wrote the letter asking for the special session, and he kind of dismissed that. But it's pretty clear the leadership was aware of Jerry Cohen's views and his comments, and they wanted to wrest back the power over the caption writing. I want to point out one other thing, Anita, and that is the commission tasked with writing these summaries and captions was created in 1983, but it was only 2016 when the Republican-led legislature gave the commission the authority to write these captions.
So a bill was passed yesterday that's going to change the ballot to just say constitutional amendment versus any specific descriptive title. So tell me about me as a voter going to the polls in November. What am I going to see on the ballot and how much am I going to know about what exactly I'm voting for?
Well, you're going to have to read the description, the summary, the definition of these amendments in detail that is provided in a voter guide that will come in the mail. And there will be other posters and other information at the polling places. The caption itself will just say constitutional amendment above each of these six proposed amendments. Democrats, of course, are very concerned because they say this will conceal the important details about what voters will be deciding about. For example, the photo ID amendment, it will just be a couple of lines. It will merely say that that to vote in person in North Carolina, you would need some kind of photographic identification. The legislature has left it until a special session scheduled for November 27th, weeks after the election, for the legislature, the lame duck legislature, to come back and decide the enabling legislation, to write the statutes, to write the legislative language that will dictate exactly how photo ID will be put into practice.
Right. We should highlight that. So five out of these six amendments would need enabling legislation. And this is what specifies how the amendments actually work. So when you are voting on the ballot, you're voting for an amendment without knowing exactly how it is going to be put into practice. Is that right?
Correct. And that has been a rallying cry for Democrats and other critics, saying all of this should have been done legislatively. All of these amendments, all the measures contained in these amendments could have been hashed out through the legislative process. The reason it wasn't, at least according to Democrats and the critics of the Republican-led legislature, is that Republicans want to get people to the polls. What better way to do that than to put amendments on the ballot where they can come in and vote on it? So again, Democrats are saying that they don't necessarily object to everything contained in these ballot amendments. For example, the cap on the income tax. Right now, North Carolina's constitution caps the personal and corporate income tax at 10%. An amendment on the ballot this fall would lower that cap to 7%. Democrats say we need to look more closely at this. What would it do to the state's ability to raise revenues in economic downturns? We can deal with these things through the legislative process. Why put it on the amendment on the ballot other than to just get people to the polls?
Okay, we need to turn now to the other bill that was passed yesterday. This would influence judicial elections. It deals with whether candidates can run with a party affiliation next to their name on the ballot. Tell me about this measure and how people are arguing that it is focused around one particular candidate.
Right. Well, first of all, it caused a lot of anger among Democrats yesterday in floor debate because, again, for example, House Democratic Leader Darren Jackson had speculated that some other legislation was going to come up. Remember, initially, this was supposed to be just about the ballot caption issue. But this other bill surfaced, and it essentially says that for a candidate to run with a party label, the candidate has to have registered for that party at least 90 days prior to filing. Well, in this case, Christopher Anglin is a Raleigh lawyer, a Democrat turned Republican who is running for the North Carolina State Supreme Court. Republicans say he only did what he did to siphon votes from incumbent Republican Supreme Court Justice Barbara Jackson and to help Democratic candidate Anita Earls. A few Republican lawmakers speaking on the floor about this bill yesterday admitted that it has a lot to do with Christopher Anglin's maneuvers, though they said that the real issue is giving voters the information they need to vote clearly for a person and to know what a candidate represents. And they also pointed out that this 90-day window preexisted this bill. However, Democrats jumped on this, saying, yes, the Republicans are suffering the consequences of their own actions. They eliminated the primaries for judicial races earlier this year, as they were trying to lay the groundwork for new judicial voting districts. Those voting districts never happened. When they got rid of the primaries, it created a loophole in the general election for someone like Christopher Anglin to come along and change his party. So there's the Democrats are saying, too bad, and you can't change the rules in the middle of the game, and especially do it to target a particular person that's unconstitutional and it's ex post facto after the fact, it will not withstand judicial scrutiny.
So Democrats did ask if there were other judicial candidates affected by this measure. I know Ralph Hise, the Republican sponsor of the bill, said Anglin, he only referenced him as the only person affected. Some are saying there may be others, and that may affect whether or not this is deemed unconstitutional. In about 20 seconds, tell me what is next for the legislature.
So the legislature will be holding skeletal sessions. That is, they haven't officially adjourned. They are basically waiting for the inevitable vetoes from Governor Roy Cooper, and they will probably put their supermajorities to practice and override those vetoes after they come in. We will see this legislature come together for another session at the end of November, again, to come back and put into action any of the amendments that may pass in the election.
We will stay following your work. WNC Politics reporter Rusty Jacobs joining us to talk about the latest from the General Assembly. Thanks so much, Rusty.
You're welcome.
Just ahead, a new book looks back at the successful failures of social movements. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay with us.